Thank you, children of the Most High God. It's quite obvious my wife's not here today. She's on a well-deserved vacation with her best friend in from Georgia, and that's why I don't have my shirt tucked in. It doesn't matter. She knows every time she's gone, I'm not going to tuck my shirt in. And the truth is, I don't know why I have to tuck my shirt in. Although, in all honesty, obviously this is more comfortable, but I've lost a little weight on purpose. See, it's funny, you know what I'm saying? You're like fat as a pig, then you lose weight, and people are going, "You okay? You sick?" "No, I'm more disciplined than you." You know, that's what you want to say. But anyway, I need to poke another hole in my belt. So my thought was, I think I would rather my pants fall down covered than my pants fall down with their tucked in. All right, I think that would do better for y'all, unless you're on a diet and you want to ruin your lunch. You want a visual? So anyway, my wife is getting some rest. She really is, and it's I'm excited for her. And it's 2 weeks till Easter. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks till Easter. Wow. I'm still singing Christmas songs. There's Christmas songs are still stuck in my brain, and it's 2 weeks till Easter. So we're going to keep in this whole theme of what's happening at Easter time, and I'm wanting to touch on pretty cool, interesting scripture today. Let's look at it. So now at the feast of the governor, obviously this is when Christ was soon to be crucified. The feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. I'll probably talk about Barabbas next week, but that's not today. And therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who's called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Isn't it amazing how that works? And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him and said, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests, the church, and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas," which is pronounced Baraba, if you care. But Pilate said to them, "Well, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" Dude, you need to get what he just said. This is Pilate. This is the Roman Pilate. And he just called Christ Christ. Jesus was a regular name. Christ was the Messiah. So what am I going to do with this guy who calls himself the Messiah? And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but wow, he just went in. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That is one of the most powerful prophetic words, and they didn't even know they were uttering it. His blood on us and on our children. Now, here's the whole principle of this whole understanding. You need to go back in the day and figure out what they were saying. This was the Jewish community. What's amazing to me is less than a week before, they were calling him Hosanna and declaring how awesome he was and all that. Now, how could that have turned in such a short amount of time? I think a lot of the reason that happened, possibly, was because they expected Jesus to come in and take over the Roman government. And they expected him this Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament was going to come to set us free. But their mindset was being set free in the natural, not set free in the supernatural. So they thought he was going to come in, take over the Roman government, get them out of the way, and he would be king. Well, that's not how it happened. He came in on a donkey instead of on a horse. So that kind of made it unsettled. So I want you to get this whole picture, and here's what I want you to see. This is a community of Israel is... we don't understand the Jewish community. So this is the Jewish community saying to kill this man. And my question was, what in the world were they thinking? Because they knew that God frowned on shedding innocent blood. Man, it's all in Scripture. I just pulled out one so you can see it. This is in the Old Testament, the law. In Deuteronomy, it says, but suppose, this is again, their law was being written, but suppose someone is hostile toward a neighbor and deliberately ambushes and murders him and then flees to one of the cities of refuge. The Bible had made places for cities of refuge where people could go and not get killed. That's a whole different teaching right now. Verse 12, in that case, the elders of the murderer's hometown must send agents to the city of refuge to bring him back and hand him over to the dead person's avenger to be put to death. Do not feel sorry for that murderer. Purge from Israel the guilt of murdering innocent people. Then all will go well with you. It's throughout all of the word. Man, if anything is innocent, even if you accidentally kill an animal, you got to go kill their animal because it was an innocent animal. So what in the world were they thinking to say give us him when they knew that he was not guilty? But again, maybe they concluded that Jesus was guilty. I'm sure they did. They had to, right? Though his blood was innocent, and in fact, Pilate proclaimed him innocent several times. Three times to be exact. In fact, look at this next scripture just so you know what Pilate, a Roman pagan, a guy who has nothing. Isn't it amazing to you that there are non-believers that are more Christian than Christian believers? Is that not just amazing to you? So here it is, the believers, so the supposed believers in this God of the universe, this Elohim. Here they are saying, kill the one that they're supposed to be believing in. And here is Pilate, who's got nothing. He's a pagan, man. He's got nothing to do with nothing about Jesus. He doesn't know the law. He doesn't know Israel. I mean, he knows they're the Jewish community, but he's a Roman. He's a Gentile. But yet he says this. For the third time, Pilate said. Pilate was trying to save Jesus' skin. Now, let me tell you something. At any point in time, Jesus could have saved his own skin, and I don't mean by calling down powers from heaven. I mean by speaking up, because when Pilate asked him, they say, you're the Messiah, are you the Messiah? The Bible says he didn't say a word to Pilate, because all Pilate needed was him to say, I didn't do nothing, and I promise you, Pilate would have set him free. Because Pilate didn't give a rip about the Jewish community, because Pilate, again, was Roman. He was the governing authority of the time. And he knew Jesus was innocent. His wife said, don't mess with this, because I had a dream that he's innocent. So he's innocent. Pilate, for the third time, says, why do you want me to crucify him? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I'm just going to flog him, and then I'll release him. Well, that didn't work because of that whole thing. They got to get rid of, you got to choose a prisoner to go free. So here's what I want us to understand and see. Again, what did he know? This is what the people's mindset had to be. Who are you? You're some Roman guy. We know he's guilty. And let me tell you something. The reason the people knew that he was guilty was because the leadership of the church of the time was saying he was guilty. The Bible's so clear, and it's very, very, very clear how jealous they were of Jesus. Because, dude, they've been around forever. They never got to see nobody healed. Jesus walks up and heals folks. They were offended. They were angry to the point of where they wanted to kill him. But the people swallowed the whole understanding, hook, line, and sinker. That's why I'm up here to tell you today, you need to start believing what Jesus Christ has done for you and stop believing what you have to do Jesus Christ. You will never walk in his freedom. You will never walk in understanding. You will always be looking at someone else for an opinion. Hear what I'm saying? That's all these people were. They had an opinion. First, they're waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, great is the King. And then 5 days later, here they are going, kill him! What was the difference? The difference was an opinion of man. Now, the coolest thing about it is the opinion of man is what created the most awesome history, the most awesome event in the history of mankind because of the strong opinion. But he was innocent. And Pilate proclaimed his innocence. So the people, you know, if the chief priest felt that Jesus was guilty of death, well, then he was. Come on. If I stood up here and told you whatever, some of you would believe it, whether it's Bible or not. They just said he's evil, so yeah, he's evil. Kill him. It's amazing how that happens, doesn't it? But here's what you need to know. Jesus was not guilty. He wasn't guilty. He's not guilty. I'm telling that. I want you to hear me clearly. Jesus is not guilty of the crimes that they said that he had done. Jesus is not guilty in those areas where you're angry at God because of some things aren't going your way. You get it? So Jesus wasn't guilty. The Jews put him to, they put to death an innocent man. So now that they put to death an innocent man, Israel's guilty of shedding innocent blood, which is completely anti what the law told them that they were supposed to do, right? So this became, after Jesus died and rose again, this became the central theme message of the new church in Acts when the new church was growing. This was the central thing. How many times have I told you half of the gospel is how horrible we are? And these people, the whole central theme of when Jesus came back alive was, you killed him. And until we recognize we killed him, we're not going to see the awesomeness of who he is in us. Because we're always running around with this, I didn't kill him, I didn't touch him, I didn't pull a nail in him. Yeah, you did. You said, crucify him. So, Israel was guilty of shedding innocent blood. And the whole central theme of this New Testament thing when it happened was that very thing. Now, here's what's so funny. You remember the story where Peter and John, after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and John are walking to the temple. They're going there for the 3 o'clock. They're having a 3 o'clock prayer time. And they're going in there, and these guys are carrying in this guy that's been for 40 years. I could run with that. For 40 years, he's been crippled from birth, obviously, or whatever. He's been, and they set him down, and they always set him down there so he can have his will work for food sign and ask for money. So they set him down. So Peter and John are walking up, and Peter looks at the man and says, look at me. And the dude, the Bible says, he looked very anticipatory because he thought he was going to give him some mugs. And Peter says, we all know this, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk. Grabbed him, picked him up. Dude started running around, and he's going crazy. He's running around, and the people are astounded. They've known this dude forever, and this guy's clinging to them, and as they're walking into the temple, and so the people start coming into the temple, because they're just amazed at what had just happened. They had seen Jesus do it, but not regular people, right? So then the word says, I'm going to read this before I get to the one I showed. Then it says, Peter saw his opportunity now to address the crowd. He sees the guys raised from the dead. Here's all these Jewish believers going crazy because they know this guy's astounded. This guy's hanging to him, jumping up and down. Isn't it amazing to you? You know, people are like, oh, you know, you should just chill in church. You shouldn't jump up and down. And you know what the truth is? Have you ever noticed this? It's really true. If you read the Word, the only ones who ever jumped up and down were ones that had been touched by Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if people are jumping up and down and you're offended, you need a touch from Jesus. Because he didn't jump up and down, but everything he touched did. Yeah. So that was a little side point, and my wife's not here to get me back on track, so that's awesome. I love that. I'll be here forever now. So Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. He said, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? What's so surprising about this guy being healed? Well, good night. If you saw it here, would you not be surprised? Isn't that sad? But it's true. He said, what's so surprising about this? And why do you stare at us as though we've made this man walk, because this man's clinging all over him, we made this man walk by our own power and our godliness. And then this is the next scripture. For it is the God of Abraham, remember the theme, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. They're not happy with this. But no, I love this though. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. And then he would just go on and on and on and constantly preach. That the whole theme of it was, get a grip on what you did, and when you get a grip on what you did, you can receive what he did. Listen, man, I'm telling you, you will never walk in the freedom of Jesus till you can get a grip of who you are. It's like that song they were singing earlier this morning. I was laughing to myself because a lot of people think we just sit back in our own understanding and we think we pick God. Yeah, you know, there's Muhammad and there's Buddha and there's Islam and there's all these other gods, but I picked Jesus. No, you did not. The word's very clear. Jesus picked you. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's why he's the one chasing after us, not us chasing after him. I get that we're chasing, I get to sit with him. He's chasing us, he desires us, he wants us, he loves us. And if we could get to where we really believe that and understand that, you'll walk in the freedom of it. So true. So good. I preach better with my shirt tucked out. If you have Gay's email address, because she can check her email where she's at right now, just email her and say, man, he does so much better with his shirt untucked. Would you mind doing that for me? Or if you text her, she won't get her text, but she'll get her phone will blow up when she gets back. That'd be great. Thank you so much. And don't you dare tell her not to. And don't let her hear this message online. You just can't cover it anymore, can you? It's just... can't do it. So here's what's greatness. So this was, again, their theme, and they taught this. Then what happened, by the way, after this just happened, after he did that, and he stirred up the people, 5,000 came to know Jesus because of it, because it just freaked them totally out. Here's the thing. You had proof in the pudding. This guy was healed, and they're not taking credit for it. Could you imagine nowadays if these healing evangelists would quit taking credit for it? Holy smoke, man. They wouldn't take credit. You know, they're like, what are you so surprised that it ain't us, it's him. And so then they're mad at him. They throw him in jail, and then they get him out. And then I'll talk about this a little bit later, but a little bit later. I mean, this is a constant battle. It's the battles with the high priest of the church, Caiaphas and Annas and all those other guys, just battling against them. We told you, and what happened was after this happened, you don't speak in his name. You don't do this in that Jesus' name. And they were bold, man, and they said, well, you know, we hear what you're saying, but we got to do what God told us to do. And the thing that was bugging the high priest was they were uneducated men, and they had all this power and authority. Let me tell you something. You don't need education. You need the Holy Spirit to anoint you. The Bible is very clear that he will give you the words. He will give the words to your mouth when you need to say something. And so the next time you're in some kind of a pickle or something, just kind of remind the Holy Spirit, hey, give me some, and he'll give you something awesome, but don't take credit for it. I can't tell you the times people come in, man, that was, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm like, well, that's new, that's fresh. I'm too stupid to come up with good stuff. Come on, man. So it was so condemning, this message. Here's what's so funny. It was the condemnation of what they did that got them to open up to see the reality of who Jesus is. We, for years, have taught it completely backwards. We pound people with how, you horrible sinner, you're going to burn straight in hell. Stop. Stop. Admit that we killed him. When we admit that we killed him, then we can receive him. I just saw this. I'm really rabbit trailing, but who cares? I just saw this St. Paddy's Day thing yesterday, and it said, had a bagpipe that says, be careful of bagpipes, because if you trip on them, you could poke your eye out, or A-Y-E, and then at the bottom of it says, or you could even be killed. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's absolutely got nothing to do with nothing. And the church is wearing green today in honor of yesterday. So, here's what I want you to see. They were guilty. And Caiaphas was angry at these guys for preaching the message. so he decides that he can talk them out of it, right? So Caiaphas was pretty upset here. But look at what Caiaphas said. This is the high priest that said to these guys, these Jesus believers, He says, we gave you strict orders, because they did. They said, you can't teach this no more. Stop it. We gave you strict orders to never again teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all of Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. Well, hello. I just love it, man. I just love it. Because here's what I love. This is such a bigger scenario. Because if you go to the Old Testament, which, by the way, the Jewish community, because they did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, they're not in the dispensation of grace. They're in the law still. So they still firmly believe in the law. Again, they had shed innocent blood, right? But they still firmly believed in the law. But here's what's so ironic. In the Old Testament, in the Old Testament law, to make anything happen for forgiveness, something had to be killed. Look at this scripture right here, Leviticus. I love Leviticus. I told y'all that before. So this is the instructions given to Aaron, who was the high priest. Give Aaron and his sons, all the Israelites, these instructions, which apply both to native Israelites and to the foreigners who are going to live among you. If you present a gift as a burnt offering to the Lord, whether it's to fulfill a vow or as a voluntary offering, you will be accepted only if your offering is a male animal with no defects. It may be a bull, a ram, or a male goat. Do not present an animal with defects, because the Lord will not accept it on your behalf. That's the Old Testament. That's what they walked under. Anytime they were going to do any kind of offering, whether it was sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering, that thing had to be perfect. That animal had to be perfect. Now, let me explain something to you here. That what does that bull, that ram, or that male goat, what did he do to deserve death? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Say no war. Oh, sorry. That's old, man. That is so old. That song is so old. Y'all are going to know how old I am. Y'all remember that song? Y'all, you're like, oh, my God. You remember it, right? War, absolutely, yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. That was, what was the dude's name that did that? It started with an E, did it? No, it was a guy starts with E. Edwin? It was Ed. Ed Hammett with his with his plumber wrench. Whoa. Okay, stop. I'm right back. Stop, Steve Vincent. So, not only did this animal have to be perfect, this animal had to be innocent for the Old Testament, for the sacrifice to work. I want to say it again. The animal had to be perfect, and the animal had to be innocent. Innocent and perfect. That's what the animal had to be. So the animal was not guilty of doing anything wrong other than being born. I just kind of laugh because I have a weird mind. And when, like, we just went and got some meat. We had a side of meat cut up for us. But I had this mental picture, this poor cow, you know, just thinking, oh, where am I going today? You know, it's like, well, sorry. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'll leave that alone as well. I can feel her burning eyes, and she's not even here. Not even here. Uh-oh. All right, Ed. So again, what had the bull done? Nothing. So there is no cleansing, no forgiveness unless sacrificed the blameless and the perfect. Look at this scripture. This is out of Hebrews, the New Testament. This is where we live. It says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So they don't even understand what they did. Do you get what I'm saying? They don't understand that as horrible as what they did, though they don't want to accept that they did it, was actually in the whole plan of God. And even to their words when they said, may his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, man, that's so fun. So it's his innocent blood that brings forgiveness to you and me. It's really that simple. We just have to really believe it. Look at what John said in 1 John. But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In fact, it is actually as you read the word, it takes away our sin. The blood of Jesus. Some people really struggle with that with Jesus, man. You know, he did all this teaching and stuff and had all these people around. But when he started talking about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, man, they checked out. Oh, he's a cannibal, man. The guy's an idiot. They didn't have any ears to hear. What he's saying is without the shedding of innocent, perfect blood, forgiveness can't be had. But here they had it. And here the Gentile, the one that didn't even have a clue about God, is the one who recognized that he was innocent. Wow. So, I'm at my conclusion, believe it or not. But here's the truth. We need to say that too. May his blood be upon us and upon our children. But my conclusion is this. When the early church was confronted with their guilt about this shedding innocent blood, other than the leadership in the church, the ones who came to know Christ after that, the Bible says that they were pierced to the heart. In fact, go to the day of Pentecost with me in your brain, which is Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down, we filled the whole baptism and all that. But you need to keep reading it. Because as you're reading it, you know, Peter, who had just denied Christ prior to receiving of this Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is pretty cool, he stood up to the crowd because they were all saying it was 9 o'clock in the morning, so they all started speaking in other tongues. Now, here's what, so we have been in church too long. They started speaking in other languages to the point that all these people that were there, all the people had gathered to Jerusalem because I think it was tax time, and they had gathered there, so all these different languages were there. And the Bible says that they started hearing their Persian tongue, and they started hearing all their regular tongues. So this wasn't just speaking in tongues that are not known. This was tongues that were known, and they were listening. And it says that they were praising God in a different language. So somebody concluded at 9 o'clock in the morning, dude, these folks are drunk. I mean, these folks are drunk. So Peter stood up and said, hey, we're not drunk, man. It's too early in the morning to get drunk. We're going to wait till 11. He said, but this is what the prophet Joel talked about, that in the last days, that I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. And he goes through all this whole thing. And then he starts proclaiming Jesus again and starts saying, you're the ones who killed him. You're the ones who did this. Man, just read it. It's awesome. You did it. You killed him. And it's making the church matter. But the funny thing is, the people who were open to it, it wasn't making them mad at all. They were starting to get it. So the Bible says that it pierced their hearts, this word to them that he said pierced their hearts. So once this word pierced their hearts of the greatness of Jesus, this is the scripture that we all know and that we all have killed in the pulpit for years. Then Peter replied to them. I'm laughing because I have just heard this preached so harshly and so mean. And until you understand the word in the original language, then you won't get it. Peter replied, each of you must repent. Stop right there. You've heard me mention it a million times. I'm going to keep pounding it into you until you really start understanding it. The word repent is not in the Bible. Yes, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's not in the original language. That was changed back in the day by Jerome. I don't want to get into the whole thing of it. The bottom line is that word for repent and repentance, wherever you see it in the Bible, is the word metanoia, which means change your mind. It has nothing to do with groveling. It has nothing to do with what penance is, which is what happened was Jerome took that word it's a Latin word. When they did the Latin Vulgate, instead of putting metanoia in there, he changed the word to penance and used that Latin word instead of metanoia. Why he did that, don't know. Maybe he just felt like that we had to do something for Jesus. I don't get it. But all I know is you need to understand it, you need to be clear on it, and I will proclaim it till I'm dead because I'm tired of people trying to skirt around the issue. It is not in the Word. Repent and grovel is not in the Word. Otherwise, the Scripture, it's His kindness that leads us to repentance, makes total stupidity sense. How can somebody kind lead me to have to grovel before Him? No, sir. It's His kindness that leads us to our changing our mind concerning Jesus. The gospel, euangelion is the Greek word for that. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, not the bad news, not what you got to do. It's what Jesus did. It's the good news. That's the message we're to proclaim. The good news of Jesus, not your bad news of how you think He is, but the good news of what the Bible says that He is, and that is the fact that people can be declared righteous even when they're not righteous because Christ died for them, and I stand in Him. Yes. That's the truth. So, metanoia means change of mind. So let's go. I'll get there in a minute. I vetted this whole scripture. I'll give it to you in a second. Peter replied, each of you got to change. But notice how this is. When you have the love of Jesus in you, how can you be mean to other people? You know what? You need to repent. No, it's much easier to say, dude, you need to change your mind about what you think about Jesus, because the truth is, I know you've been painted a bad picture. He's up there wanting to kill you, but man, he loves you so much and so desperately. You don't get it. You got to change your mind and understand that what he did on the cross was true, and that it's awesome, and that it's not how stupid you are, it's how great he is. It's not how bad you are, it's how good he is. It's not about what I've done, it's about what he did. Do you get it? You need to get that in your heart, because when you do, you will walk in the freedom of him. You'll never walk in freedom when you try to do it yourself. You did not choose him. He chose you. Wow. Amen. So he says, so each of you change your mind about your sins. Sins, hamartia, means missing the mark. So just in case you want to say, well, he sins and I don't. No, you've missed the mark. Name me, you've missed the mark. All of us have missed the mark, right? The word says very clearly, we all have sinned. We've all are sinners. We're sinners, sinners, sinners. I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. I love to admit that, because that's the only way I can receive who he is. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to make a new thing you do, a new little bracelet that says, he's God, I'm not, get over it. And I'm just going to wear it everywhere. So each of you must repent, change your mind, metanoia, of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I vetted it all out. I just laughed because the word for doesn't work there. Anyway, for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I spent some time and I vetted out the original language, and I didn't put all the boring words in there for you, but here it is. Peter replied, each of you must change your mind for the better by honestly admitting you are guilty as charged of breaking God's law. Stop right there. I tell you, that's exactly what he was saying to them, because he knew that they weren't supposed to shed innocent blood. You get it? So each of you must change your mind for the better by honestly admitting you're guilty as charged of breaking God's law. This will put you in the right mindset, phronio, to accept God's mercy and grace. If you don't see that you're drowning, you won't see the need for being saved. And then you must be immersed and bathed and overwhelmed in salvation. The word salvation, sozo, told this all the time. Complete, total healing, wholeness. In all avenues of your life, including finances, where you've done stupid in finances for your whole life, it's incorporated in that salvation. Complete, total healing, mind, soul, you name it. Pick it. Pick your poison. This will put you in the right mindset to accept God's mercy and grace. If you don't see that you're drowned, blah. Then you must immerse, bathe, and overwhelm in salvation. That is, in the person of Jesus, who will deliver you from the abuse of the enemies of your life. That's not people. Don't go there. Oh, good. I mean, God's going to kill them finally. You must immerse, bathe, overwhelm, and salvation. That is, in the person of Jesus, who will deliver you from the abuse of the enemies of your life and those in your mind. This baptism will permanently change you. Once you are released from your prison of wrong thinking into right believing, forgiveness arrives, and you will view your sins as if you had never committed them, and the penalty of wrongdoing will no longer torture your mind. Then you will receive the one who's already been given to you, the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth concerning Jesus and protect your mind from the accusations of the evil one. That's what As you take the original language, and there's a plethora of meaning in all the words, and as you sort it out and you take it out and you get it in context and stuff, that's exactly what Peter's saying, and that's exactly why people said, man, I see it, I believe it, I'm gonna walk in Jesus. I want my mind. Aren't you tired of your mind being tortured by the stupid that you do? And listen, man, seriously, y'all, wow, I'm definitely from Texas. Y'all, I don't ever say y'all. Seriously, we maybe it was just me, but for years and years, even as a pastor, I was constantly beating me, hating me, total self-hatred. I hated me. Look up the word self-hate in the dictionary. There's Steve Van Zandt's picture right there. I'm telling you, I hated me because I wasn't lining up to the standard that I had created. My standard that I had created was created by my roots. I get it. But I had created this horrific standard that I could never measure up to. When I finally realized I can never measure up to this is when I finally got the truth of who He is. Unless you see that you're drowning, you're not going to see the need for Him. Unless you see that you killed Him. Why did you mean I killed Him? Why do you say that? Because while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. Amen. He died for us. He died for me. He died for you. And He died because of how valuable you are. See, we people diss you. People tell you that, you know, whether it's verbally or not, that you have no value. That can even be done by the rolling of the eyes or the whatever. You know, or you say something to somebody and they look at you like you're a fool or an idiot. It doesn't matter. The truth is, everything that Jesus is, we have access to. Everything that He desires to do in us, we can do. It really is truth that it's a belief system. The word pistis, believing in what Christ has done for us on the cross. As far as the east is from the west. How many times? I'm going to pound it till I'm dead. East from the west, no more sin, no more sin. Not today, not tomorrow, not tomorrow sin. What do you mean tomorrow sin? Not tomorrow sin. If it doesn't, listen, if it doesn't include tomorrow, then we're messed up because He died 2,000 years ago and we're 2,000 years in tomorrow's. You hear me? Good night, people. Let's get some real understanding. I just have this passion. You know what's so funny? When you read the Apostle Paul, and I really will shut up here in a second. When you read the Apostle Paul, I used to think he was arrogant because I didn't know his understand his teaching. I just didn't understand it. But when he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," I just thought, "Man, that is so arrogant." But you know what? It's not. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. I want you to be able to worship. Whether we're singing Ba Ba Black Sheep or He's Exalted. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want you to get to the point to where the Jesus in you is so powerful and so strong that it's not about what you do wrong. It's about your life pouring into other people's life so you don't have time to do wrong. You won't be mean anymore. And you won't be ugly anymore. And you won't be posting that crap that you post on Facebook anymore. And I said it and she's not sitting there, so I'm good. It's time, you know, here's what so drives me crazy. You know, you need to be a believer. Yes, we need to be a believer, but believing is not trying to beat Jesus in somebody with a bat. Believing is walking up to somebody who hates your guts and loving them. Believing is knowing that as stupid of the choices that they've made, I'm going to put my arm around them and they can make another stupid choice and I'm still going to have my arm around them. It's when you decide to focus your life on mercy instead of judgment. I just had a conversation this week where they were stunned that I didn't say, and I told you so to them. You know what I'm saying? And I told them, I said, no, I'm not an I told you so person anymore. I'm not. When you walk with eyes of mercy, you don't got to say, I see how you are. No, sir. When you walk with the eyes of His mercy, you see love and patience. And then the people who hate you will be the ones who are full of judgment. Let those be the ones that hate you, not the ones that are believers that they hate you because you're judgmental. If you're going to pick your poison, pick the good one. If you're going to, listen, let me tell you this. It's impossible to please anybody. If I try to please you, Ed, I'll fail and I'll be miserable about it and try to fix it. If I try to please God, I'm going to tick somebody off. So I have determined that's the route I'm going. That I'm going to do Him, and so when I make somebody else mad, then at least I'll fall into His lap instead of into the lap of opinion and into the lap of cleaning it up and like, what should I do? What should I say? I can't tell you how easy it is to live life like that because when people say something about you behind your back that you said concerning something and you know dadgum well you didn't say it, you just walk in the freedom of it. I had that happen to me several years back. Yeah, well, he said the reason they left the church was blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I didn't say that. I'll tell you exactly what I said. And I gave him the real reason why they left the church. And he goes, well, yeah, that is what you said. Well, yeah, so, yeah. But it doesn't matter because I'm not looking for man's opinion any longer. I want people to walk in the power of who Jesus is, and that power is incorporated in love, not hate. It's incorporated in goodness, not ingratitude. It's incorporated in all those fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the love. All those things are incorporated in how that power comes out. Do you think, don't you know that when Peter lifted that guy up, he said, I don't have any money, but here, I'll give you this. He was motivated out of love, not out of greed, obviously. He said, I don't have no money. Anyway, I think I'm done. That was kind of mean, wasn't it? Man, I better tuck my shirt back in. I'm just telling you, the longer I live life and the longer I grasp who he is in my life and the longer I get to see it spill out to others in a positive way and by the same token see others get really angry about it, there's just so many issues in life. I have a pastor friend of mine I went to college with, and he just got into some trouble. It was not with another woman or nothing. It was drug trouble. And he's one of them hard guys. But now, he's not. I'm not saying that's why that happened. What I'm saying is, thank God that I didn't put on my eyes of judgment. Oh, God, what a jerk you are. You know, all those times you said that about that and that about that, and then you're doing it. Come on, just, does that not, that gags me. Just stop it in the name of Jesus. And go out of your way this week to find somebody that bugs you, like at work. I'm looking at you, so you must have somebody who bugs you at work. And just listen, go up to her. And if you can, go up to her just this week special. Put your arm around her and say, I love you. And then slap him when you do. See, because, you know, spouses are different, right? We don't have to love our spouses. All right, I'm done. Young, stand up. I do think next week I'll talk about Barabbas. Let me give you a little food for thought on that. Barabbas is his name. Remember when Jesus was talking to, when he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, blah, 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 remember that? Bar-Jonah, Bar means son. So what he's saying is Bar-Jonah, son of Baraba, son of the Father. And if you go historically, most all believe that his name was Jesus as well, Jesus. Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the Christ. Again, Jesus Barabbas is first name, last name. Jesus the Christ is first name, Messiah. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Powerful stuff. Anyway, I think I'll head that way next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these believers, God. I pray if anybody took an edge off that you soften it and make them swallow it. And help us. God, we have such a world today that is hurting and entitled and judgmental, and there's no answer but you. And I know that answer only comes through love. It doesn't come through our opinion of how things should be. It only comes through love, God. So somehow, some way, get us who believe that you did what you said you did, and get us involved, where we don't have to point fingers anymore, where we can just put an arm around somebody and with the understanding that there's going to be somebody else going to be mad about it. Doesn't matter. That's what we need, God. I'm not asking for revival. I'm asking for renewal. And I pray that. Amen. All right, y'all can go to eat now. What time is it? Oh, look, I let y'all out early.